All right, so what are we looking at today, this third Sunday of Easter? Well, we mentioned last week as we are in this Easter season, as we consider resurrection and what that means, and kind of think about it maybe as a multifaceted diamond that has different refractions and things part of it. And last year, the week, if you remember, was unity. That in Jesus' resurrection, he enabled and empowered and gave us the ability to be one together, his people, his church, and how important that was is for us and for the world. That's one little facet. And today we'll continue that idea. I was thinking, too, just of even today as we kind of look at another possible facet of it, that even that facet has more facets. And, you know, almost picture in my mind a disco ball rather than, you know, because just all over the place. Well, today, if you were tuning in, and maybe you may have gotten the thread we're going to pick at today, was resurrection and forgiveness of sins. That coming out of the resurrection, we have forgiveness of our sins. That is good news. That is great news. And in our scriptures today, we saw different threads, and we'll pick at them as we go here, but I was thinking too, just the beauty of forgiveness. Because in resurrection, death is defeated. Sin is defeated. Those powers, those cosmic powers that are at war against us and against what is good, are defeated in resurrection. They do not hold any power anymore. Sin does not hold any power any longer, period. That is awesome. That is incredible. And yet, we are in that place of tension in our lives where it seems sometimes that sin is winning. It feels like death is still pretty awful and is there. We see injustices or even just sicknesses among our own selves. And it doesn't feel like sometimes that they're winning. It has been overcome. But it has, and the resurrection reminds us of that as we come to that by faith, remember. So a few things I want to just touch on as we go through here, as we consider just the awesomeness, the power that is given to us in resurrection. Resurrection overcomes the power of rejecting Jesus. Okay, in Acts 3, in Peter's sermon. Now, we didn't have any context for it, but that came right after he had healed a man. Remember? Silver and gold have I not, but what have I give I thee? In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. You know the song? Okay, that's that story. Okay? And apparently everyone was kind of wowed by this whole thing, right? I mean, they had seen Jesus do it and some things, but now in this new time, they were getting like, what is going on? And Peter says, hey, why are you looking at us as if we're doing anything? It is Jesus who you killed that is enabling us to do these things. And so we see here the resurrection overcomes the power of rejecting Jesus. Even in the face of Peter telling these people, right to him, you did this. This man, this righteous man who gives us the power to do these things that you're in awe of, you killed him. You rejected him. But that's not the end of the story. Because of resurrection. Because of the power of raising the dead. If that had been it, then you're just kind of stuck in this evil deed. And it was evil. Make no mistake. Even if it was planned, even if it was necessary, this hanging across, this lynching of our Savior is evil and wrong. Because he was innocent and righteous. And that is overcome by the power of God. And so forgiveness then is possible. You killed, but God raised. Yes. You've sinned, but God forgives. You see, the power of this fast of resurrection is so important to us. It overcomes the power of rejecting Christ, which is what we all do. Well, we can look at, you know, point fingers at specific things, but this idea of rejecting Jesus, that's the heart of it. And then it also enables, empowers, makes it possible to forgive others. Offering forgiveness to another is difficult. I mean, there's lingering effects. Someone may have hurt you greatly. And yet we see in resurrection that you can. You really can. Because the evil is overcome by his power. Resurrection then allows us to be able to accept forgiveness. It is God's power that gives us the opportunity to be forgiven. And as we talk often, by faith. We, as Peter in our scripture today, spoke his sermon. You believe, you have faith. And as you do that, as you understand that Christ suffered and was killed and was raised, that you can repent, turn away from this rejecting of Jesus. You've killed him. You realize, what can I do? It's okay. You don't have to do anything because God raised him from the dead. He's made it right for you. You know, often we see in terrible, you know, tragic, you know, even murders. And the convicted person of a murder would say in court, I wish I could take it back. A drunk driver who hit another car and killed a family. Oh, if only I could go back, I would change. I would. That is what Jesus has done. That is what resurrection is about. He's made it right. He's gone back. The wrong that was wrong is undone. Death is undone. Sin is undone. And so, because of that, we too can enter into that. This idea of rejecting Jesus is kind of a broad catch-all. Like I said, it's pretty easy to point our fingers at certain things, you know, whatever sin might bug you more, whatever it is. But we it's hard. It's rejecting Jesus. You always understand that someone is sin, whatever it be, immorality or greed or lust or you know. Whatever it is, at the end of the day, it's rejecting Jesus. And so we have to make sure we consider it. So, like for instance, we can understand that, you know, in our culture, this is a hot button issue that I think according to scriptures, the witness scripture shows us that the practice of homosexuality is wrong. Okay, that is sinful. It's against God's commands. So, and so in doing that, you are rejecting Jesus, right? That's the whole point. And so often we look at the sin itself and whatever, you know, whatever you want to think about it, but it's rejecting Jesus. But the other side of that coin is also true, and we have to be careful because if we persecute or marginalize, tease, hate, bully, humiliate a homosexual, we are rejecting Jesus. Do you understand? Our finger pointing, again, I want to give my words, but finger pointing at a specific sin and then allowing that to give us permission to exclude or other or be disgusted by or hate or whatever it is, you're missing the point of resurrection. Resurrection allows this rejection of Jesus, and that is forgiven. And so we can stand and say, yes, this is wrong. Accept Jesus. It makes things a lot easier, folks. And a lot less. Not less room for hurting or rejecting or sending someone away. Because it's like, although I may reject Jesus is okay, I'm alive. killed his, that's fine, I'm alive. There is forgiveness. So the next point that I want to kind of think in is, as we think of this idea of forgiveness, that as we are empowered to forgive by Jesus' resurrection, you know, that acceptance of forgiveness then would lead us then to repentance. We see, the amazing love of God, that we His children, right? That whole idea, as we can see that and see that Jesus forgives us in spite of what we've done, rejecting Him because of the resurrection, that leads then to repentance. And that repentance then leads us into forgiveness, right? And we're in there. That's the power of resurrection. If you look at the first John, in 1 John, in chapter 3, you know, says in verse 4, everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared, He was rose from the dead, so that He might take away these sins. And in him there is no sin. See, so we have this wonderful idea that in Him there's no sin, and we come to Him in that forgiveness. As we are empowered in this accepting forgiveness because of the resurrection, as we are moved into repentance, and it allows us to be forgiven and also then forgive others, we are brought into a new family, right? How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should call children of God. This speaks, the power of resurrection speaks to the idea of why. Why was it done? And we mentioned this a bit last week. But for far too many, and for far too many years, in our presentation of the gospel, the good news is that you should do this, accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, because if you don't, you'll go to hell, and that's really bad. You know? When I did youth ministry, so many parents, the motivation to hire a youth pastor in the first place was they're fearful. They want to make sure their kids were on the right track because they didn't want them to go to hell. And I've been to dozens of youth rallies, and the altar is gone, and kids flood to the front, weeping and wailing, some for the 8th, 9th, 10th, 15th time. Why? They're afraid they're going to go to hell. Resurrection destroys that, folks. Resurrection tells us we don't have to fear. In fact, the whole purpose is not to avoid hell. That's a benefit, I guess. No, yes, I'm sure about it. But the whole purpose was not to avoid hell. The whole purpose was to restore, become part of the family, to be adopted, to be accepted, to be back in right relationship with God Himself. That's the beauty of forgiveness. It's not that I can go, well, life's hard, but at least I'm not going to burn. It's like, the kingdom of God is here. I'm right with God, the God of the universe, the God who created everything, the God who loves me so much that He died for me, the God who is so powerful, control things, He rose from the dead. That is, we are part of a family. We're adopted. It's about God. It's about Him. And I see here again the power of resurrection in our witness to the world. When Peter, again, healed the person, that was kingdom life, right? That was Peter proclaiming and showing the kingdom of God is here. And you can see that because there's healing. Right? We've seen that through all Jesus' ministry. And then when people were in awe, and he said, oh, I'm not doing anything. And that happened all the time. Paul, you know, and Barnabas, they were, when they did all these miracles, people they wanted to raise them up as gods. And Paul's going, no. It's not us. It's not us. You have to understand that. That's what's going on here. Our power of witness flows out of the resurrection power of God in our proclaiming the kingdom of God in the world. I mean, yeah, sure, we can walk up to a stranger and say, hey, did you know God has one plan for your life, and you know, you've sinned, and but God's made a way, and it's true, it's fine. But how much better for someone to see you and be amazed at your life, to see that you forgive people. When you're at work and a coworker stabs you in the back, and you forgive them, you don't fight back. When you're generous, when you have bills to pay, but you see someone that has a need, and you give them money. People see those kinds of things and go, you're an amazing person. And then we go, oh, thank you, I appreciate it, but it's because of Jesus, his power. I would have nothing. I could do nothing in this. I don't want to in my flesh. But our witness is Jesus rose from the dead, and therefore I'm forgiven, and therefore I extend this grace and forgiveness and love and compassion and all these things because he's done it for me. And God's kingdom is real. It's real right now. And we can see that. And they'll see it in our generosity. You know, we may not necessarily put our hands on someone in America to heal. But we can help fund hospitals for children. We can make sure that people are not hungry. We make sure people have clothes on. We can make sure that people in our body here are taken care of. And that will show people the power of resurrection. It's not me. It's not us. It's Jesus. And we also then, I think, see one last thing. The power of resurrection and forgiveness brings us peace and assurance. Peace and assurance. The Psalm 4 is a beautiful psalm. Saying, how long are these things going to happen? And yet, you know, the Lord will call his own. And then we'll see there. I'll read the words. Many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us. And he says, you have filled my heart with greater joy than when there is grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. We have this aspect of peace and assurance that in this already not yet place that we live in, where we see evil abounding in many ways, when we may be persecuted, when our bodies will fail us, when our minds will fail us, when people will fail us, we can have peace even there. Because Jesus says, it's okay. I was raised from the dead. And guess what? So will you. We can rest in that. We can be assured of that. As we pray for Charlie, and we come before the throne of God and say, please, Lord, have mercy. We can do it in the confidence that no matter what, God's power of resurrection rules. And Charlie's going to be okay. No matter what. And so in that assurance, we can come before God and say, Lord, may your kingdom come, maybe even right now for a little bit. But your will be done, we ask, right? That's how we do it. That's the beauty of the resurrection and the power of it. We can live in it. We serve a Jesus who understands pain, who understands anxiety. He lived it. And he's even killed. He understands death, our fear of death. I'm afraid of death. I don't want to die. Jesus knows that. And he's able to say, it's okay. I got this for you already. I took care of it, and God brought me up. And there's hope. 1 John mentioned there that we, someday as his children, we're going to see him. We're going to be like him. And in this hope, this is the hope we have, the hope of resurrection. Not that I avoid an eternity away from God in hell, but I am going to enjoy an eternity with God in the new heaven and new earth. The things will restore. And I can't imagine what it's going to be like, but I can hardly wait to start getting a taste of it. It's going to be awesome. So for us today, as we consider this third Sunday of Easter, we drag out the awesomeness of resurrection, I would ask for you and pray for you to really know and accept forgiveness. And to accept forgiveness means that, as we sung today, grace in repentance, that we're going to turn away, that it means more than simply there is an active part of this. But we do it for God, not out of fear, but out of the beauty of resurrection. And as we are able then to accept and enjoy the great benefits of peace and harmony and unity and all these things from resurrection, we extend that same thing to others. And not just some others, all others. As Christ was able to absorb it all, we can too. We can. We extend that forgiveness to others. And we share that forgiveness. We share. When someone says, why do you live the way you live? Or, you're such a good person. Or maybe it's you think you're better than me. No, I'm just forgiven. I've been forgiven. I rejected Jesus. As much as those people 2,000 years ago raised up their fists against him to kill him, I have done that. I've been there. Over and over and over again in some cases. And I can stand for you now that when my eyes are opened to resurrection, the power of God to forgive, I can accept that, not because of anything I did, but just because you too can have the same thing. And I would love for you to. If you're not sure, well, check it out then. Come, follow for a bit. See what it's like. You're going to see the power of resurrection in us. And that's what draws people to him. So I have that for us today too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Then the power of resurrection, there's forgiveness of sins. Past sins, present sins, future sins. Your mighty work conquered sin. Sin is powerless. It has no hold on us anymore. So Lord, I pray that we would live like that, in that understanding. That we would not let our sins drag us down. That we would not let our sins continue. That we would not allow our sin to affect us and our families and our lives, but to live in peace of the resurrection power that you did to forgive us. Lord, help us to repent. Give us humble hearts with you and with each other. We look forward again to that day when we will be like you, when we will see you. And so then our hope then, now and forevermore, is in you. Oh, what a great day that will be, Lord Jesus. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.